Right,
for Israel.
An hour and a half minimum. So it's like, I think it's an area that I'm shared with car companies or something.
Okay, first of all, I wanted to finish up on what we did yesterday about Afein Hoyu Ba'oso Anes, because I didn't have... How are you, Herb?
Where's the tent?
Yeah, I didn't know you were coming, Herb, so I decided I would start. If I knew you were coming, I would definitely have
waited. Sam emailed me.
Yeah.
You know this fella? On the lower right corner?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I'd like to see what it's about. Where they got it from. Oh, this is from the REITs, what do you call it, the thing. Later on, if I could see it, I'm just curious what I wrote.
No, you duplicate it.
Yeah.
But this goes into my...
So you have this copy here.
I'll share with him.
Yeah, that's what you're holding there, Sam. So if
this is Afein Hoyu, right?
Yeah. So Herb, if you could take a look at those pages.
I was learning about German Jews this morning.
Oh, okay. I'm not up to Rabbi Yosef Engel today, but he was a genius of geniuses. Okay, what do we want to do now? Let's get started. Strangely enough, this piece in Hari Kedem was printed in Hanukkah instead of in Purim. And that's what threw me off. That's why I couldn't find it. But really it belongs to Purim. And in the second paragraph, in Nira Biur Behegdim, you see that he quotes the famous Gemara in Megillah Daf Dalid that Noshim Chayovos B'mikra Megillah Mishum She'afhein Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes. And Tosus there quotes the Bahag that a woman cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a man. Okay then? Now again, as I mentioned yesterday, there are many, many different explanations for this Bahag. But we want to see the unique explanation of Moshe Soloveitchik. Now, why is this piece in Hari Kedem published in Chanukah? The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Chanukah says something very, very strange. That if the Ner Chanukah, this is in Tuf Reish Ayin Hei, was lit by a Chere Shota V'Katan, Lo Asa Klum, so far so good, that makes sense, because a Chere Shota V'Katan is not a Bar Chiyuva. The Afal Pishe Nicha Gadol, here the Mechaber is coming Lafuke the Sheet of Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah, because we pass in Adloka Osa Mitzvah. And then the Mechaber quotes, Yesh Misha Omer Shebekatan Shegia Lechinuch Mutter. So the Rav doesn't understand, where do we find that a Katan Shegia Lechinuch could be Motzi others? In fact, the Mechaber himself in Hilchas Purim, Tofresh Peites, writes that if the Korei Esamegilu was a Katan, Hashomer Mimenu Lo Yatza, and he doesn't make any qualification, was he Higil Lechinuch, was he not Higil Lechinuch? And therefore, Maishno Chanukah, Maishno Megil.
The word Mutter is odd.
Yeah, very odd, but it means that he's allowed to light the Chanukah candles for all the Bnei Abayis. And even without the contradiction to what the Mechaber himself paskins in Hilchas Purim, in and of itself the halacha is very difficult, because in order for you to be motzi me, you and I have to share the same level of chiyuv. So that even if a mitzvah is derabbanan, a katan, even if I grant you that he's obligated midrabbanan, but that's betaras chinuch, that doesn't mean he's obligated in the mitzvah per se. So we never find that a katan could be motzi a gadol.
Except, of course, over here, if you say the mitzvah is under bias, it's the same thing.
Okay, excellent. So before we get to that, he wants to now analyze this halacha of the Bahag, that why is it that a woman cannot be motzi a man, even though she's obligated, midin afein hoy bos anes. And he says, "Ubir b'zeh agram zatzal da hatam b'zehu mishum shemikru megilu b'emes mitzah seishes mayin grom noshim p'turis mimena." In other words, when you ask yourself the question about the ikar takana, the ikar chiyuv of mikru megilah, should it apply to women as well? The answer is noshim p'turos. It's a classical case of zman grama. Ella, but now there's another chiyuv that women it's incumbent upon women to read the Megillah. Why? Because Afein Hayu Bosan Nes. So at this point, we can raise the following chakira. What is the power and the agency inherent in Afein Hayu Bosan Nes? Does it have the power to bring Har Chiyuv back into the basic Chiyuv and completely obliterate or neutralize the fact that it's a mitzvah seishas mind grom, and our Chiyuv is exactly identical to that of a man? Or do we say no? The mitzvah remains Zman Groma Noshim Pturos, but Bitoras Afhein Hayu Bosanes, they have a brand new Chiyuv. It's not the old Chiyuv and the Ikara Chiyuv, it's a Chiyuv Midin Afhein Hayu Bosanes. And if it's only Midin Afhein Hayu Bosanes, then it doesn't reach up to the level of a man's Chiyuv, which is the Ikara Chiyuv. Says Rav Moshe, apparently that's the Bahag Shita, like the second side in our Chakira. Chiyuv Zeh, the women's obligation is Eino Mi'ikar Achiyuv. It's not the original Chiyuv, the main primary Chiyuv of Mikra Megillah. El Adin Nosaf, or I would call it Adin Chadash, you know, for our purposes. Hamachayev Bechol Mitzvah Shel Pirsum Anes, any mitzvah, the nature of which is to publicize a miracle, and the women were included in the miracle. And we have three examples of that. We have Mikra Megillah in there, Chanuk and Dalet Kosos. So since they were part of the miracle, they also have to publicize the Nes and perhaps thank Hashem for the Nes. But Ein Zeh Chiyuv Shel Mikra Megillah Be'atzmuso, you know, he uses like a philosophical term over here. It's not the essence of Mikra Megillah. It's not the primary Chiyuv of Mikra Megillah. They were exempt from that because of the universal Halacha of Zman Groma. El Chiyuv, he calls it Klali. Again, I would call it a Chiyuv Chadash. Bifnei Atzmo Shel Afhein Hayu Ba'osan Nes. Oh. Now, if this be the case, then let's apply the Halacha of Afhein Hayu Ba'osan Nes to Ner Chanukah. And if a woman is exempt from Ner Chanukah, Me'ikar Chiyuv Ner Chanukah, because it's Man Groma, Ella, they're obligated Ner Chanukah because of Afhein Hayu Bosan Nes, then a woman should not be able, according to the Bahag, to be Motzi a man. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Bahag, and yet, as far as Megillah is concerned, but yet as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned, he writes, Isha Madlekes Ner Chanukah, Sha'af Hi Chayeves Ba. In other words, the Mechaber doesn't mention a word about the Bahag, which he does in Tafresh Pei Tes, in Sif Beis, when he discusses the case of Mikra Megillah. So there he's very concerned about the Bahag, and Afhein Hayu Bosan Nes is not enough to generate a chiyuv on the woman that such that she could be motzi a man. But here, the Afhein Hayu Bosan Nes in Chanukah generates a chiyuv that's equal to that of a man, and therefore she can light the Ner Chanukah on behalf of the man. Now, in the footnote on the bottom here, I added my own point to the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Magen Avraham that Megillah is different than Ner Chanukah because it's like Kriyas HaTorah. In other words, when a woman reads the Megillah, it has that element of Talmud Torah added to it, and a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah, whereas Ner Chanukah has no element of Talmud Torah. So that's just for your own, you know, erudition, just to expand. That's the Magen Avraham. But what the Rav wants to suggest is the following. Uliyashiv Zeh, on the left side, the Choluk Ner Chanukah Mikra Megillah, and I think, Sam, this is what you were referring to before. That in Mikra Megillah, there's a halacha that I do an action, and your Yotze Midin, Mechuyav B'Dover Motzias HaCherim Yedei Chovasam. And therefore, it's absolutely critical, it's a precondition that the person who's being motzi, the other person, has to have the exact same chiv as the other person. And therefore, if, as Rav Moshe would have it, Afhein Hayu Bosan Nes generates a brand new chiv, but it doesn't resurrect the old chiv out of the dead, is then she, the woman, cannot be motzi the man because she doesn't have the same chiv as the man. That's called Yotza Motzi. But now, with regard to Ner Chanukah, we have a different halacha. It's not halacha of Yotza Motzi. It's not that my hadlacha, my pu'ula, relates to you, and I pati you up from your chiyuv, but no. It's etzem Ner Chanukah bebeso, the Ner itself, I would call it the cheftz of the Ner, poteres anshei abayis midin Ner beso. In other words, the Anshei Abayis have to guarantee, that's their obligation, that there will be, that the house will be equipped with a Ner Chanukah. Now again, Ner Chanukah is something that has a halachic status to it. You can't just, a guy can't light a Ner Chanukah and call it a Ner Chanukah. So again, the emphasis here is being shifted from the Maisa Hadlaka to the Ner itself. And therefore, he says, in the case of a woman, although she doesn't have and share the same chiyuv as the man, because afein hayim bosanes is a secondary chiyuv, but she does have enough of a chiyuv to create a chefza of a ner Chanukah. In my mind, this is absolutely stunning. I mean, this is what I love. You know, again, a lot of the Rav's Torah is very complicated because you get into nezikin, and it's really complicated, and how much more so, you know, once you get into kachim and taras. You know, here, you know, it's just like, it's nice. It's Orchaim. It's Moed. You know, the Rav, by the way, I think more than any Gadol Yisrael introduced Lomdus into Moed in Moedim. You know, the fact that today in the yeshivas they've introduced Moedim, you know, Masechtas of Moedim into the state of the Matzah yeshivas, I hold that's all a product of the Rav. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know the history.
The first guy gave Shurim on the time.
Yeah, I don't know if in Lakewood Yeshiva they had, you know, Masechtas like Megillah and Shabbos, you know, in Sukkah in the Matzah yeshivas. Wait a minute. Let's get to the punchline. Then Herb, the floor is yours. I just want to say this now. We can swing back to Katan. That's where we started. We obviously know that Katan, even if he's a Gila Chinuch, cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a Gadol, and that's Mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch. But yet the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Yesh Misha Omer that a Katan, once he's a Gila Lechalal Chinuch, he can be Motzi a Gadol in their Chanukah. So the answer is, again, according to the Rav, that since a katan is a gil chinuch, he already is a bar hadlaka, which means that he has the possibility, the potential of creating a chefetz shel ner Chanukah. Once the ner, and once the bayis is equipped with the ner Chanukah, that's enough for the anshei bayis to fulfill that full obligation. Again, in the case of mikra megillah, there we need a maisa, and that maisa has to relate to the others. There's a kriya, and we apply the principle of the chiyuv of a katan, with all the respect, even though he has chinuch, is not the same as the chiyuv of a gadol, and therefore the katan cannot be motzi the gadol in mikra megillah. Go ahead. I just wanted to finish the paragraph.
What is the tumah of afayavos anes? Is there a separation between the bracha and the kula? In other words, let's go a step further. Say, for some reason that the person has no hands and can't light the candle,
right.
So he can make the bracha, and his wife can light, or vice versa.
Right.
Is the p'tur on both? Not the p'tur, but the matir.
When you say on both, you mean both?
Both the actual hadlaka and the bracha.
Yeah, I think the hadlaka and the bracha form one entity, and who's ever fulfilling that mitzvah will get both the bracha and hadlaka. If he can't do the hadlaka, he could be otzei through someone else, but he can certainly make the bracha.
Two separate people do it. One does the halacha, one does the bracha.
Fine. That's okay with me.
I love it's okay.
I would think that in many cases,
I'm
you know, you might have to split the bracha. You know, somebody can't make the bracha, so somebody else will make the bracha. Somebody can't make the maisa.
If a katan does the halacha, we say we pass halacha. We say mitzvah.
Right.
So if the katan does the halacha, then he's not a kind of mitzvah.
Well, if he's a gil chinuch, he has a kiyum a mitzvah, but only at the level of chinuch.
Right.
As far as the bnei abayis is concerned,
right.
they go beyond. They've guaranteed that the abayis has a ner Chanukah. They fulfill a full fledged kiyum of a ner Chanukah.
But mitzad adin, they're not yet to the mitzvah. If they call you, she'ain a gil chinuch.
Oh, if he's any gila chino kuli amalo pligi, he doesn't have the power.
Right.
He doesn't have the agency to create a.
Can he make the bracha?
I would say no. I mean, again, I'm not learning Hilchas Brachas now, but I would think, you know, I would be even curious,
you know,
whether Katni gila chino could make the bracha on behalf,
you know,
of the
bracha. You know
that
I'm
itself, you know,
you know,
has
where,
to be studied.
Where I'm going.
I'm not sure where you're going. That's the honest truth. I wasn't thinking about brachas when I learned this. Yeah.
No, I'm going in the fact that they're talking about the matir of Persumanisa. What is matir? Is it matir to bracha? Is it matir to fula?
Well, again, the bracha is chal on the mitzvah. If you have a kiyum mitzvah, then you make the bracha. Now, I think you're raising a valid question as far as a katan. You know, is his bracha meaningful for gadol? You know, the approach here of the Hari Kedem is to say that the katan could create a chetz of ner Chanukah. Can he create a chetz of a bracha? That's another question. I don't know. In the case of a bracha, I would say that's already like Mikra Megillah, that's Yotzah Motzi. You know, I'm implementing my obligation to make a bracha, and now you can be Yotzeh through Shomei Ka'ona. Again, what Shomei Ka'ona is, I don't know, but some of the bracha, the Mavarech, relates to the person who hears it.
Eventually to separate.
Whether that applies to Kotten, I don't know.
To separate Hablokah from the Mikra Megillah. Okay. Yeah.
Good, Sam. You want to make a point?
I think we'll a point over here, yeah. Okay? The way I read of Moshe over here is that even, let's say, for a man who's the Etzem Mikra Megillah,
right,
and then there's the Kusuma missing, right?
The language seems to indicate that Afhein Hayu Bos Hanes is Pirsum Hanes. Is that what you're saying?
Just the person. Because that's what he says.
What
I would say, if you follow this through, is that a woman can be mighty a man out of the Pirsum Hanes of it, and he would no longer couldn't make a Shas Hanesim anymore, although he's still Chayef of the Etzim reading. This is if you take your Moshe and follow him to the end.
Right, but again, I think Ramosha would argue, again, I can't speak on his behalf.
Can't do the Pirsum Hanes for him because...
Yeah, that Pirsum Hanes and Shas Hanesim is all part of the mitzvah of Hadlaka.
Separated for the woman.
Yeah, in the case of a woman, they were misakin and separate chiyuv. Honestly, Sam, that line also caught my eye when he said Pirsum Hanes. I don't know if you should take that literally. I don't know what Ramosh actually said, you know, 100 years ago. My father was in the shir in 1930, so, you know, getting close to 100 years ago. I don't know exactly what Ramosh said in the shir. Afhein Hayu Bos Hanes, I would, if it were to me, I would say it's a chiyuv shevach vodoya. Pirsum Hanes might be something different, and generally speaking, the approach to the Bahag, by the way, the classical approach, before the Hari Kedem, the Bahag existed before the Hari Kedem. How did they understand the Bahag? And many understood the Bahag that Adarav, the reason why a woman can't be motzi a man, because she doesn't have Pirsum Hanes, whereas a man has a chiyuv Pirsum Hanes. So that's why I find it very paradoxical that when he talks about Afhein Hayu and the chiyuv on the woman, he calls it Pirsum Hanes. Okay. That's as far as that is concerned. Okay. Now I want to turn the clock. I want to turn the clock back a little bit. And I think, Herb, you were here when we discussed this. I'm not sure. About 2 or 3 days ago, we discussed a hakira as to whether or not we have a din or a birur. Meaning, is it lakir madav, we're creating something legal, or we're clarifying exactly what went on? So whenever we get to Hilchos Sfeikos and we need evidence to clarify, we have a principle called chazaka. And the classical way, I think, of understanding chazaka is that chazaka is lakayim es hadover, meaning if the legal status was such yesterday, then it remains the same today. So if yesterday I found the mikveh to be mole and I found it 40 sa, I assume that today it's also got 40 sa until I know otherwise. Do I have a clarification, a birur, as to whether or not it's 40 sa? I don't. The Torah says, as far as the legal, as far as the house of legislation is concerned, we can legislate that you don't even have to check the mikveh. You can assume that it has 40 sa. That's called chazaka. So in that sense, chazaka just tells me exactly what it is. It's I call it declarative, meaning it's a declaration. It's not to clarify. However, I photocopy for you a piece here from the Oneg Yontif. I didn't have time to go back to the Oneg Yontif himself. And this will appear on the bottom of your page 41. Okay? And I put a little arrow on the bottom left there so that you'll follow what the Oneg Yontif is trying to do. There's a sugya in Masechta Ksubos on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah there formulates a machlokes tanoim. It's two against one. It's from Gamliel and Rabbi Yosh. It's from Gamliel. Who is it? From Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. No, from Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar against Rabbi Yeshua. Okay. So what's the issue?
Eliezer.
I'm sorry, Eliezer. So what is the machlokes? The question is, with regard to a single woman who had a relationship, and we don't know who the Boel was. We cannot identify him. She comes and claims that the Boel was a kosher. In the language of the Mishnah, he's a Kohen. Kohen means a kosher. It doesn't have to mean that he's a Kohen. As opposed to a mamzer. Because if she had a relationship with a mamzer, then she could no longer marry a Kohen. She becomes a zonah. So she claims, and if we believe her, with her tainis bari, we don't know that she's lying, we have no evidence against her, then she could remain kshera l'kuhuna. And we maintain her status quo. She was kshera l'kuhuna before she had this bia, now she remains kshera l'kuhuna, and that's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel. Then the Gemara has, and Rabbi Yeshua doesn't agree with him, Lomi Pianu Chayim, we're not going to rely on her Tainis Bari, and she's Psul Lekohen. Later on, the Gemara is going to say that that's based on a principle called Maila Osu Biyuchsin. Forget it, that's not for us now. The Gemara records in Machlokes how to understand the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel. One school of thought, okay, for what's the issue? The issue is that this woman who had a relationship with an unknown Boel, unidentified Boel, now goes ahead and has a child. Let's say she has a girl. Can that girl marry a Kohen? So Rabbi Yochanan says yes. Why? Because man de machshir ba, machshir bebita. Since, according to Rabbi Eliezer and Gamliel, she, the mother, is kshera l'kuhuna, then ipso facto, the child has to be kshera l'kuhuna. The bas is kshera l'kuhuna. There's no logical reason to differentiate between the status of the mother and the status of the child. Rabbi Lazar, and that's what Sam pointed out very well, it's not Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Lazar, he's the Bar Pluta of Yochanan, he says no, and here you turn to page 42, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel hold that the mother is allowed to marry a Kohen, she's Kshera, but not the Bas. And he says that Man de Machshir Ba Posel Bebita. In other words, the Hechsher of the Ba, of the mother, does not extend to include the Bas. Oh, why? So Rabbi says the following. What's the reason, what's the logic that underlies Rabbi Lazar? How can you make this distinction between the mother and the Bas? After all, whoever the Boel was, that's going to determine both the status of the mother and the status of the child. You can't differentiate between the two. Says Rabbi, as far as the mother is concerned, she had a Cheskes Kashus, meaning before she had this Maisa Bia, she was Kshera L'Kuhuna. Now you want to know, was there a Bia HaPoseles that took her out of the original state of Kashrus? On that we have a Chazoka. However, with regard to the Bas, the very moment that she's born, we don't know what her status is, because we never really clarified the original Safek as to whether or not her mother had a relationship with a Mamzer or someone else who passed her, or with a Kosher. So as far as the Bas is concerned, she doesn't have the ability to brag and come into Beis Din and say, well, I come in with my Cheskes Kashrus. From the moment she was born into this world, she didn't have a Cheskes Kashrus. So Cheskes Kashrus only work on behalf of the mother and not on behalf of the daughter. So far, so good?
No.
Okay, go ahead. So the Oneg Yontif wants to embellish it. Maybe, Herb, it'll be clearer after we hear the Oneg Yontif. The Oneg Yontif, his last name was Halperin, he says, this is about 2.5 centuries ago, that the Chiddush of Rabbah here is that what's at stake in understanding Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Eliezer of Gamliel is how to define Chazak. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan understood, before we get to Rabbi Lazar, that Chazakah is a birur. Chazakah actually clarifies what went on over here. Meaning, you start with the mother. The mother had a Cheskes Kashrus. That Chazakah tells me that the Boel was a kosher, he wasn't a posel. And now, you've through this Chazakah, you've clarified the original suffix, that's called birur, And as a result of that birur, obviously it follows suit that the child, the bas, is also ksheir lakuta, because now we've clarified that the boel, who had a relationship with her mother, was a kosher. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. But says the Onig Yontif, Rabbi Eliezer understood, I'm sorry, but according to Rabbah in, let's just get it straight, in Rabbi Loz's frame of reference, he holds that Chazaka is not a birur, meaning the suffix is always outstanding, it was never clarified, it was never resolved, and what we're left with is a kvi'a mishpatit. I mean, that phrase, I promise you, will not find in the Onig Yontif. That's this fellow named Dr. Noach Solomon, who got a PhD from Cambridge for writing a piece on the analytic approach to Torah learning in the Lithuanian yeshivas. And I tried to get access to this, to this thesis, which, I'm sorry, the University of Manchester, but I don't know how to get it. Maybe one day we'll figure it out. Because this is a translation from the English. In any way, he wants to suggest a kvi'a mishpatit. Chazaka does not equal birur, but rather it's a kvi'a mishpatit. Kvi'a mishpatit means it determines or declares what the law should be. It's purely legislative, but it has no bearing on the case and the details of the case. And how does this legislation operate, this kvi'a mishpatit? It has a very specific and restricted mechanics. The mechanics of it is, this is what I call the chemistry of halacha, is that as far as the mother is concerned, she comes in with her chazaka, then the halacha says that we're not going to change your status. Do we know whether the boel was a kosher apostle? Flat no. But we cannot change your status because the Torah says rely on chazaka. When the bas comes into Bez, then I'm just using that figuratively, she doesn't come with a chazaka. So she comes with a pure suffolk, and in a pure suffolk, we have to activate the principle of Sufik Lachum. Go ahead.
There, Chazakya is, in other words, there's two kinds of Chazakyas. There's the classic case where Chazakya is Mikvish and Nimsa Chaser. So you know that at a certain time it was Mali.
Right.
So has a Chazakya Mali.
Right.
Fine. There's another Chazakya, a guy comes off of the street and he says he's a Kohen, he's a Shah, whatever he says. So he believes. He's not mine. Why? In a sense, because you have no reason to say that he's not. It's not a positive chazaka. It's a lack of a negative reusa in his status, whatever you want to call it. So the kind of, it's not really beer. That's really beer. The other case of mikvah is not beer. It's really, I don't know what to call it. It's keeping whatever you want to. I don't know.
So the truth is, Herb, if we were learning the Sugyeng Subis, you would be right, because Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel quote the halacha of Tainas Bari. And that really belongs to the halacha of Birur. What do I mean? A person is believed. Like you say, I come forward and I testify, I was mafresh trumas of maestris, a woman says she went to mikvah. In all these cases, the Torah relies on their manus. However, we're not learning the sugyan ksubis really inside. We're learning only one facet of the sugyan ksubis. And that is the question of chazaka. At this point, what we're doing is we're freezing, so to speak, the concept of their manus. Lomi pia anu chayim. We're not going to trust her with the cheskes bari, and the reason for that is because a person can't testify about their own status l'kahuna. As far as somebody who comes forward, he says, "I'm a kohen." I don't know. That's complicated. I don't think he's believed. I think he needs some sort of a chazaka, but that's not for us today. The question is, with regard to if we neutralize her nemanus, her credibility. Or let's say she was an ilemis, you know, she was mute and she couldn't say a word, or she didn't recognize the boel, whatever the case might be, then the focus here is simply on chazaka. We've isolated two, you know, we've separated between two issues. Your issue of nemanus, right?
100%.
Nemanus is birur, there's no question about it. And that's credibility of a person who's believed. Now we've isolated that. You know, that's in the back burners. What comes front forward now is, in the absence of Nemanus, we have Chazaka. And the Chazaka tells me that, look, yesterday we knew she could marry a Kohen. What about today? Well, today she had a relationship, but we don't know the nature of that relationship. Should we allow her to marry a Kohen or not? And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah, in Ksubas, they want to activate the principle of Chazaka. That since yesterday she was Ksheira Lakuna, now she remains Ksheira Lakuna. Comes along the Oneg Yontif and he claims, how do you understand the mechanics, the essence of that chazaka? There are two ways and two definitions. One is to say it's a kvi'a mishpatit, which means since she was kshera, she remains kshera, that's the power of the chazaka. The other says, no, the other possibility is that the power of chazaka goes even beyond that. It's like ne'manus, and it actually clarifies, the Torah says, rely on a chazaka to clarify any issues that you have, any sfeikas that you have. That's called birur. That's a hochacha. Says the only yotif, the nafkamina is going to be the status of the bas, of the daughter. Because if you're going to operate with a kviya mishpatit, a chazaka of what we call a kiyum adover, he calls it din, then that has no implication and no impact on the daughter, because her status is in question from the very moment that she enters into this world. She never had a chazaka. But if on the other hand you can operate with chazaka as a birur, then if it clarifies the original suffix, then we know that the boel, according to the Torah law, was not a posel, but rather was a kush. And I find this extremely fascinating, because yesterday, I think it was, we spoke about the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav says that there are two ways of understanding the case of a sota. Sota, the Torah says that if she had kiri and stira, she's asur al baila, until we can possibly clarify that with mea marorim. And that becomes the paradigm of what's called sofek tuma b'rishus hayach, it's feiko tame. And the Brisker Rav says that when we apply the principle of sofek tuma b'rishus hayach, it's feiko tame, it means tame b'toris vadai. And if, let's say, he goes into Beis HaMikdash, he's going to have to bring a karbon because he's a vadai tame. And here the Brisker Rav wants to know, how does that operate? Is the fact that she went into the yichud, right, into the stira, is that a clarification that she certainly had a relationship, she had a znus, or no? The halacha is din, and din tells me that I have to treat her as if we knew that she was a zona, that she had the maaseh znus. And he says that this question might lie at the heart of a machlokes between two tosfosim, and I'll read to you his language. This is what we saw. Yes, I think you have it there. And he says the following, that pligi beis tosfos and tosfos yevamis with tosfos and sota, as far as malchus is concerned, what happens if the husband went ahead and he had a relationship with his wife after she was a sota and she didn't drink the baby roaring? So how do we deal with this? If we assume that there's a clarification that this nus actually took place, then this relationship that he has with his wife subsequently comes under the law of Akri Asher Hu Tama. But if on the other hand we have no clarification, the Torah just says, let's consider as if she did have this news, but she didn't really have this news, maybe she did, maybe she didn't, then we can't give him out. Okay, so I'm just saying, I see a very striking parallel between this Oneg Yontif, who was a century before the Brisker Rav, if not more, and the Brisker Rav. So that's one comment I wanted to make. But now, I want to go back to the issue of the old din or the new din. And this, I think, is Rav Chaim's Chakira here on the Yerushalmi in Shavuos, which you'll see here on the bottom right of this very, very large page over here. You have it? And it turns out to be Rav Chaim stencil in Croesus. What's relevant to us is the second paragraph. The Yerushalmi speaks about the following case. A man was tamei what's called a tuma chamura. Okay, let's say, for example, a tumas mess. And then, the Yerushalmi used the language nismecha lo tuma kala. Let's say somehow he also comes in contact with a sheretz. And what happens is that he went to the mikveh for the Tumah Chamura, but he stuck with the Tumah Kala over here. And the question is, can we at least validate the power, the agency of the Tevilah to reduce his Tumah from the state of Tumah Chamura to the state of Tumah Kala? And then Achkamidas, if he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, whether he's Chayef for Tumas Mikdash for Kadosha, if it's a Tumah Chamura, then he is. If it's a Tumah Kala, then he isn't.
So when he goes into the mikveh, he has to have to have Das.
Okay, so I don't know about that, Herb, because I'm not a Baki in Hilchus Tara, but what happened was, is that at the moment that he went into the mikveh, I'm just using this as an example, a sheretz came upon him. This mechalo Tumah Kala. So at this moment, the tefillah is in a very precarious state, because we have a principle called Taval v'sheretz biyado, lo also lo tefillah. And yet, despite the fact that lo also lo tefillah, the Yerushalmi comes to the conclusion that if this individual walks into the Beis HaMikdash, then he's not chayav for Tumas Mikdash. He doesn't bring that karma. He's potter. And the obvious question is, well, if it was Nismach Olo Tumah Kala, then he's a Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yodo. How could that Tevilah reduce his Tumah from that of a Tumah Chamura to a Tumah Kala? And the other part of the Yerushalmi is the reverse case, where he was Tovel himself for a Tumah Chamura, and then Nismachalo Tumah
Kala.
I'm sorry, for Tumah Kala I meant to say, and then Nismachalo Tumah Chamura, and here the Yerushalmi says Lo also Lo Tumah. Lo also Lo Tumah Kala, that the Tevilah cannot be meaningful for the Tumah Kala. So Reb Chaim, to explain the Yerushalmi, he says the following. Yesh Lachkar. He calls it Yesh La'ayin on the third line. What is the nature of this din of Taval v'sheretz biyodalo osolo tvila? Two possible definitions. One is the Eino Nitar. Just one second. I'm sorry. The Hadi Eino Nitar, when we say lo also lo tvila, what does it mean? It means not that the tvila is meaningless, but what it means is that although the tvila is meaningful and it removes the state of tumah, but nevertheless there's a brand new tumah that replaces the original tumah. And the language here, which might be Reb Chaim's language, we're not sure, he writes, Chazar v'nitma. So in the first tzad in Reb Chaim's Chakira, it's wrong, it's incorrect to say the following, that in such a case of Taval v'sheretz biyodo, the tefillah is meaningless. It's completely, no, the tefillah is very meaningful. It has a tremendous power. He's metar himself, but now there's a brand new tumah that's chal on him as a result of the fact that there's a nismachalo tumah, in this case a tumah kal. The other definitions say no, that tefillah is an all or nothing proposition. Tehavidin the etzema tefillah, the kevan the eno nitar mitumah, so, because it was nismachalo tumah kala, and he doesn't have the power through this tefillah to remove the tumah kala, is lo avi tefillah klal, it doesn't even have the power to remove the original tefillah. The bitvila be'inon sheitayr al yoda. You could only qualify or you could only have tefila as a candidate for meaningful tefila if it does register. And if it doesn't register, meaning it doesn't transform the status of the gavra from tome to tar, then it's a meaningless tefila. So again, let's just review. One side in Reb Chaim's Chakir is that no, that even though he's got a problem with this tefillah, but nevertheless the tefillah could solve one problem, it doesn't solve the second problem. So the original source of tumah, let's say when he came in contact with a mess, that tumah could be removed by tefillah. The only problem is he's in contact now with the sheretz, and that's going to originate a new tumah. In the second side, Reb Chaim says no, it's an all or nothing. If the tefillah cannot be meaningful to make the gavra tar, then the tefillah is not a tefillah at all. That's what he calls a din b'etzem ha-tefillah. V'nira, and he wants to say that this will explain the two dinim, the resh and the seifa, in the Yerushalmi and Shvuos. The first case was, yarad litbol b'tumah chamura, V'nismecha lo tuma kala. Ratzalom v'shas tvila. Also lo tuma chamura. In this case, we can validate the tvila, and it's meaningful at least to remove the tuma chamura. Ratzon alom moil lo tvila. They came with the idea tvila chalal of dintara because he does have a chalos dintara. In what sense? He's allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash now, let's say, or if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's potur. Shafir chashuva tefillah. In other words, in this case, you can validate the tefillah because you can salvage some significance, some impact of the tefillah. V'nimtza datuma kala sheyesh lalav hu mipnei tuma chadasha shenitma b'shas tefillah. In other words, at the moment that he went into the mikvah, he attached himself to a sheretz, or the other way around, and therefore he, although he doesn't have the ability through this tefillah to remove all the tumah, but he can remove some of the tumah. And the problem is that now he becomes tameh by virtue of the sheretz. That's called a tumah kala. But nevertheless, the tefillah was valid in order to remove the tumah chamura. And that's why the Yerushalmi says in this case, he's potter if he goes into the mikdash. Okay, fine. Now he gets to the sefer. But tov al mitumah kala. And now at the moment of tefillah, what happens? Nisbukhalo tumah chamura. Ratzalom v'shas tefillah. At the moment of tefillah, he comes in contact with a corpse, and now he has a problem with tumah chamura. Lo also a tumah kala. This tefillah is totally, completely invalid. It doesn't even achieve a miktas tahara. Ratzalom lo chashiva klal. And why is that? We just finished saying that no, that in this scenario the tefillah is meaningful. He says no, kevan di enal of shuv din tahara, because in this case, since you have the din tuma beside the mess of a tuma chamura, then the tuma kala is totally meaningless. In other words, tahara or tuma in the kala case is totally irrelevant. The ancient din tara sheyachol of hakeim al chashiv tefila klal the tefila beinan sheyachol of din tara. So in the first case where he reduces his tuma from a tuma chamura down to a tuma kala, the tefila is valid, it's meaningful, and it removes that tuma chamura. What you're left with is a brand new tuma called the tuma kala. However, in the second case where he starts with the tuma kala and he ends up with nismachol tuma chamura, now as a result of the tuma in his contact with the tuma chamura, the mikvah, the tefillah is completely invalid. And why is that? Because now the tefillah cannot have the power to remove any tara whatsoever, because he's got a situation of a tumah chamura. Again, you might argue, but wait a minute, as far as the old tumah is concerned, let the tefillah be meaningful to remove the old tumah. And Rav Chaim says no, the tefillah could only be meaningful to remove the old tumah in the condition that there's no new tumah. If there's a new tumah, that new tumah overshadows the old tumah because the tumah chamura, then the tefillah is totally invalid. So I thought, Rabosai, that this Chakira of Reb Chaim might be relevant to our discussion of yesterday. Yesterday we spoke about the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech wants to suggest that in a Zova Gedole, after she counts Zayin Nikiyim, her old tumah is completely gone. She needs tefillah after the Zayin Nikiyim because of a new tumah. That's a separate tumah. And here Reb Chaim is saying, I think, something very similar, that in a case where the blockage that prevents the tumah from being removed because the tefillah now is nismachalo tumah kala, is a tumah kala, says Reb Chaim, the tumah kala doesn't undermine the entire power of the mikveh to remove the old tumah. The tumah chamura is removed, and therefore we go down a very significant notch to the tumah kala situation. And therefore Reb Chaim says that now, as a result of sheretz biyado, a new tumah is chal on him, not the old tumah.
What are you learning in this word, in this word?
I thought nismucha means that it attaches itself to his body. That's what
when?
I thought. I don't know.
When?
At the time of the tefillah. Again, I can't promise you because, again, I'm not learning Krisus, no. And I'm certainly not learning the Yishalmi and Shmiz, but...
I would agree with you, yeah. Because it's not at the time of the tefillah, it's all different.
Right. That's what I think. Now, Rabosai, let's go back to the Oneg Yontif. We said that according to the Oneg Yontif, the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbah is that Rabbi Yochanan says that man de machshir ba machshir bebita because chazak is a birur, And Rabbah holds no chazak is only a din, and therefore it only applies to he or she who has the chazak, namely the mother, but not to the bas. Now comes along Rav Yosef Yehuda Leib Bloch, who's the Rosh Hashiva of Tells in Litta. And to the best of my knowledge, please correct me if you know I'm wrong, he never made it to America. His son, Rav Eliyahu Bloch, was the Rosh Hashiva in Tells, Cleveland. And much of the Torah that we have recorded from the father is from the son. In other words, the son quotes his father. And Rav Yosef Yehuda Leib Bloch from Tells was very upset with this Oneg Yontif. He could not accept that according to Rav Yochanan, Chazaka is a birur. That's not so. Chazaka is never a birur. Chazaka never clarifies the original suffix. It only tells you to maintain the status quo as a halachic, we called it a kviyah mishpatit, as some sort of legislative law. But there is no birur. And therefore, the real Bloch, I don't mean R-E-A-L, but Rav Yehuda Leib Bloch, Rav Yosef Leib Bloch, sorry, wants to suggest that Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, that there was never a machlokus about the nature of Chazaka. And if you see two lines before the end of page 42, if you want to underline that, Li'olam, Eina Yechol Le'choshev Kehochacha, Ulekvius Uvda, Li'olam, this is not a principle that lends itself to debate or to question. It's not an issue. How the status of chazaka is purely kviyah mishpatit. It's din. It's kiyum l'davar, as we called it, and the original suffolk remains a suffolk. So what then can we substitute as an analysis for this machlokas? Now the key word is on the top of page 42, second line, 43, excuse me, second line, ha'im. Do you have that? Ha'im. Now that ha'im is going to suggest two different definitions of chazaka, both of which assume that chazaka is purely a din. But exactly how the din chazaka operates, that's going to be a subject of the machlokes shin rabba and Rav Yochanan, according to Rav Bloch, according to the Tells of Rosh Hashiva. Now, what I want to point out to you here is that since I don't have access to the sefer called Shi'urei Halacha, again, if Yechiel was here, I'm sure within 5 minutes we'd have a copy of it. So I don't know the original language of Rav Bloch. All I have here is this Dr. Noam Solomon. So that's what I have. Ein l'dayna shema elamasha einov ros. Now, what this Rav Solomon wants to do, I just want to give you the agenda here, you know, what is his objective, is he's going to take this ha'im, this hakira of Rav Bloch, and he's going to reformulate it in his own language, which is the word ha'im in the next to the last paragraph. Again, if you want to underline this, I think I tried to underline. I don't know if you got it in the photocopy. You see it? It's about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. Ha'im? Okay. That word ha'im is this Noach Solomon's reformulation of Rav Bloch's ha'im. And you never know whether we're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. I'm not sure if that's what, you know, that's what I want you to help me judge here with the jury here. And if you remember, we had a long discussion about what we call din yotze min ha'asur asur. So let's just review that conceptual structure. We have something on the one hand, again, we're creating a conscious, that is asur machmas atzmo, which means that if an animal is born to a non-kosher species, then it's not kosher. That's an isur machmas atzmo. Here we don't have to come on to this new chiddush of yotze min ha'asur asur, because the child, right, the progeny or whatever, shares the same min as the parent. When do we need yotze min ha'asur asur? That's in a case of some element that's not min. For example, min only applies to basar; it doesn't apply to chalav. min applies to basar, and it doesn't apply to beitzin, right? Or, for example, in the case of a treifa, there is no min. So why would the beitz of a treifa be asur? It's going to have to be because of yotzim and asur. Here, we're not talking about an isur machmas atzmo, but rather an isur machmas yotze. And the concept of yotze, I think, is equal to, and I think he operates with that premise as well, grum. What do I mean by grum? The gorim. You know, we have a concept of cause and effect. So what's yotzim and asur? Asur means if this was produced by, it was created by a davar asur, then that which is created by a davar asur is itself asur. This is where Mitch asked me the question about honey, yes, which is a sugyan chulin, why honey that comes from bees is allowed to be eaten. There's a special gzeres hakasim for that.
Yeah, but prayers has a precedent. Zeves egorim.
Oh, so zeves egorim, says Reb Chaim. That was Reb Chaim's chiddush.
The word gorim.
Right. Reb Chaim's chiddush with zeves egorim applies whenever you're dealing with yotze.
Right.
When you're dealing with min, then there's halach of chayshinu lezera av, and forget about zeves egorim. But when you're dealing with yotze, you want to know what's the gorim.
Right.
And it's a zeves egorim, then it might be mutter, because there's a body who says zeves egorim mutter, and that's why beitzas treifa might be mutter. Fine. Oh. Now, this Dr. Noach Solomon, again, I don't know anything about him except that he wrote a PhD thesis for the University of Manchester. That's all I know about the man. He wants to suggest that according to Rav Bloch, the machlokus here between Rava and Rav Yochanan about chazaka is whether chazaka is an iser machmas atzmo or it's yotze. Okay, so it's either atzmo or yotze. That's what he wants to do. Because again, this entire chapter that we're learning now, which starts on page 39, which you don't have that in front of you, but he divides up Lumdus into seven categories, seven groups, and group number six, which is this essay here, is called Atzmi or Nigzar, meaning Atzmi, it's also because of itself, or Nigzar, because it is a result that was created by something else. And it only borrows that status from the original, but it's not really the original. It's not a reincarnation of the original, it's rather a product of the original. Okay then? And he wants to claim that according to Rav Bloch, we have an example of Atzmi or Yotze in this machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rava about the status of the Bas. So let's read the way he writes it. He says, "Ha'im ha'chazaka mityacheset la'diyun benidon shelefanenu." Okay. Shaholit is a suffix, right? Bilvad. Oh, gam le'nidon ze kehanocha v'siba le'maskanos hanigzoros v'yotzeis mimeno. So I'm going to try to formulate this in my own language. And again, you're all invited to do better than I, for sure. But I would like to suggest that he's asking the following. The Torah says in this din of chazaka, that we have to treat it as if we know X. In this case, that we know that the kashrus status quo remains. What is the Torah telling me? Is the Torah telling me the person who comes into Bezdin with the chazaka, that's called the nidon shelefanenu, and in this case it would be the mother, obviously, that person comes with a chazaka, and we have to treat the safek as if we had some sort of a hachras ha-safek vis-a-vis the nidon? Or no, the nidon is not the subject. The maisabia becomes the subject. The original issue at stake, which is the gorim, that's what the chazaka is telling. But again, obviously, according to Rav Bloch, we could never clarify that original suffix. But what we can do with chazak is we have the power to go very far with the chazak. The chazak is telling me that treat the law as if you had a clarification of the original gorem, the original suffix, and all the repercussions, all the implications that follow are to be legislated, are to be accepted. Meaning this halach of din in chazak, or kiyum in chazak, means it's a kiyum that's chal on the original molidus ha-safek, the original maisa shahaya, the original safek and the gorem ha-safek, or no. This din is limited and restricted to the nidon who comes forward with the chazaka. definitions, we're operating with the assumption of kviyah mishpatit. Uli olam eino yechola, back on 42, eni chol lichashev ko chacha lekviyus uvda. We can never be koveli uvda, but the halacha is that we treat it lemaisa as if we knew the uvda. How far are we going? Are we going only as far as the person who brings in the chazaka? The chazaka is related to the nidon and only to the nidon, or does the chazaka tell me treat it as if we have a clarification of the original suffering? That's what I think Reb Bloch is saying. So let me read it one more time. He says, "Ha'im ha'chazok mityacheset la nidon l'diun ha'nidon shelafanenu," which I think means the aim bilvad, and vis-a-vis the aim, we could say that the boel was a kosher. Oh, gam again. Here I would again the word la nidon here gets me confused here, but gam lesiba. That's what I think is the key word here. Gam lesiba. And therefore, we can derive maskanot ha-nigzarot mimena. And the word nigzar is the same word, which I don't believe for in a million years that Reb Bloch used that word, but that's the same word that this Dr. Solomon wants to use to define the nature of this kvutza and formulate as atzmi versus nigzar. And therefore,
it needs conjugation.
It needs conjugation.
No, it means nigzar means conjugated.
I'm not sure what the word conjugated means. Not from grammar.
In other words, it's a derivative.
Derivative. Okay, good, great. I love the word derivative. That's great for me. I'm gonna write that down soon, because when you're looking for a word, it can drive you crazy. Yeah, derivative.
That's come from the grammar of conjugation.
Oh, okay. So I'm not familiar with the word conjugation. Meaning I use conjugation the way we use it, but without ever thinking what does the word actually mean. Okay. All right. Rabosai. Now let's fast forward to the second ha'in. And again, the language here is murder. I would like to believe that the original English would have been a lot easier for us. And now he wants to fit this in to Etzem versus Yotze, right? So again, let's keep in mind, the Iser Atzma would be the Min, and the behemoth that's born to that Min also has the Atzmi Iser of the Min. Or is it something called Yotze, which means it's a cause and effect situation, right? It's the Chagadya, the domino theory, that since the mother was a treifa, therefore the Beitza becomes a treifa. And he wants to push this Chakira, this machlokus between Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, according to Reb Bloch, into this formulation. Ha'im chazaka tovas meitanu. Again, that's also strange language, but I think what he means is, when the chazaka screams and yells at us, what exactly do we hear? Does it tell us that a certain situation kinetuna l'din miyuchad bischus atzma? In other words, she, the mother, comes forward in her own merit, so to speak, and she demands a chazaka. The chazaka says, look, she was kshera, now she remains kshera. And that's the operative, that's the modus vivendi, that's the mechanics of chazaka. Oh, well, can we go further? And the chazak yells and screams and says, derive the conclusions, again, that's your word, Sam, derivative, shall siba misuyam. Go back to the original cause and treat the cause as if you have derived the conclusions once you machria and you determine the nature of that cause. Lamar means, I guess he's reformulating it in other words. Kisha chazaka tovas, when the chazaka demands status quo, be osa situatia, in that situation, shenifal beheten lekach, and therefore demands that we treat it as if, in other words, the halacha operates, the law operates as if we...
Accordingly.
What's the word?
Accordingly.
And then he says, mimumash hadin bi'etzem, which I think is a limitation rule, meaning we're limited to the bi'etzem, which is, in this case, is the mother. Haynu tchuna shel ha-situatia ha-myuchedet b'tokef ha-yichud mishalo. Yeah, this is Chinese to me. But I think what he's trying to say is that she, the mother, has her own qualities. In this case, she has the quality of kashus l'kahuna until we know otherwise. Now a situation arises, the chazaka demands on her behalf that we treat her as if the situation were in her favor, meaning in favor of her kashrus, And that's called a din bi etzem, which means the case of min in Reb Chaim's terminology. So she has, you know, her own demand to the chazok in a very private and exclusive way. Oh, adinu yotze. Or should we clarify it as a derivative, which means, I think, that we go back to the original source of the suffix, and we clarify, and again, has shown to say we clarify, because then we're back to the own yotif, but we treat it as if we clarify the original gorem, which is the maisadiyah, hainu histafut. That's an interesting word. Histafut, I think, means the implications, you know, the branches that grow out of the tree, shel nesiba o situatso acheret, of the facts on the ground. I don't know why he has to, not sure. Again, I think the word acheret here is in contrast to miuchedet in the previous line, meaning if it's be'etzem, then it's the situation that's unique and restricted to her, meaning to the mother, who's the balas achazok. If it's situation acheres, means we want to know who the boel was, and that would have implications to other situations, not just the mother herself. Any implications that are inherent in the connection between the Siba and the Mesovev, meaning the original cause and its impacts, which means the Maisabia, Behechrech Tehein Netuna La'oso Din Atzmo HaNigzar, again I underline the word HaNigzar Mimena, and Nigzar means Yotze. So again, it's for you to judge whether you think he has successfully and smoothly fit this Chakira of Rav Bloch into the original Etzem versus Yotze Chakira of Rav Chaim. But what I was excited about is that he points out in the last paragraph that when we're studying Derech HaLimud and we're trying to define structures and categories, we'll find a lot of overlap. And therefore he concedes the point that this Chakira, which he has formulated as Etzem and Nigzar, could also equally be Siba Umisoviv, cause and effect, because again, if we're applying the logic of Rabbi Yochanan, that mind the makshir ba, makshir bebita, then you're talking about a siva and a mesovev. But again, I think the reason why Etzem and Nigzar has one up on siva mesovev is because siva mesovev really only works for Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't work in this case for Rabbah, because Rabbah thinks that in the case of Chazok, we don't go back to siva mesovev. And he points out that it also overlaps with another kvutza that he has called etzem umikre, which means essential or accidental, which is a very fascinating concept or kvutza in and of itself. I don't know how Reb Chaim would treat that. I think Reb Chaim would say about etzem umikre that terminology is posel treif, because it emanates from the world of philosophy, but... And if you go back to Aristotle and all his disciples, you know, you'll find essential and accidental is something that's over and over again in every other paragraph. But I think Reb Chaim would admit, if we had him here in the room, that he himself is using etzem umikra. For example, the case of kavan and tefillah, where Reb Chaim says that there are two types of kavan and tefillah. There's a kavan that you're omer b'fnei hashchina, and there's a kavan of pirush hamilos. And Reb Chaim differentiates fundamentally between the two. He says, without kavanah shu omid b'fnei hashchina, it's not tefillah at all. It's not prayer. It doesn't get off the ground. It's misasek, he calls it. And that would be etzem. Whereas kavanah for the pirush hamilos, you know, the various concepts in prayer, that's already mikra. That's already coincidental. You know, it would embellish your tefillah, and it's certainly important, but it's not absolutely critical. So that I found very fascinating.
I wonder who mentored his doctorate or whatever.
I don't know. You could
read. Rabbi, if you give me the exact details, I'm
gonna here. Just photocopy.
My librarian.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have him chase.
Yeah, if you don't mind. I'm sure it's accessible.
They'll contact Cambridge. They'll get it.
It's not Cambridge, I'm sorry, that was my mistake. It's University of Manchester. Where is this stuff asked
for them?
Who mentored Rabbi Heschel?
Rabbi Heskel, wasn't he in London, or he was also in Manchester? I don't remember.
Close enough,
I guess.
So had to get
an hour and a half by plane, but yeah. Now,
does Bar Ilan have this?
Just one second. Again, Yechiel, I'm sure would do it for us, but he seems to be out of touch.
Yechiel knows how to mess with. I mean, I have access to academic libraries.
Yeah, so maybe you and Yechiel together should be able to figure it out. You know, make it a shituf.
I'm not a techie. He's a techie.
Yeah.
I just know how to push people around.
Now let me just add one point here that we discussed in the name of the Mishmer Sachaim about a week ago, and the Mishmer Sachaim does recognize the existence of a Chazaka HaMivareres, so that I don't want you to jump the gun here. He quotes Rav Bloch as saying the chazaka is din, it's hanhaga, it's not birur. And he's not willing to budge on that, the Rosh Yeshiva tells. But I just want to tell you that the Mishmeres Chaim that we learned a week ago quotes the Afike Yam, and the Afike Yam claims that there is one chazaka, at least one that we know of, that's a chazaka mevareres. And we discussed this at great length. This is called a Cheskas Tzidkus, which means not kashrus in terms of your status of being allowed to marry a Kohen, for example, that we discussed now in Ksubis, but rather your status as someone that's reliable, that would never do an Avera. And that's called a Cheskas Kashrus or Tzidkus. It's also called a Cheskas Chaver. And the Gemara tells us in a few places, in Masechta Pesachim especially, that Chazaka al Chaver she'ena motzi bitachas yado davar she'ena mesukan. And the Afike Yam claims, and he has raya's for that, that that Chazaka that we rely on is an absolute vadai. It's not a suffix. It's a clarification of the original doubt. And therefore, the Afike Yam claims that it's quite possible that there's no chovas birur. Let's say in most cases of suffik, when you have a chazok, you fall back on a chazok as a default because you cannot clarify the chazok. But if you can clarify, a guy takes a chalif and he shefts the bayim, but we don't know if he knows any beans about shechita, so we test him. If he's there b'faneinu, we test him. If he's not here, then we rely on the chazok that he's a shochet, that he knows his beans. But we have to clarify the suffik. If a man, for example, rents you a house on Leil Yudalid, you don't know if he did the bedika, the maskir, then even though the chazaka tells me that he probably did do a bedika, but if you could ask him, he's in town, pick up the phone and clarify the suffix. But in the case of a person who sends peros, he sends produce to his friend, and the friend is trying to figure out if he has to be mafris, trumas, or maestris, or can he rely on the fact that the person who sent him, the Maguro Malaya Peros, is a chaver? In this case, the Afikiyam says there's no need to clarify. You don't have to call him up. Don't even bother. You don't have to waste your effort, because this chazok is an absolute birur and generates a din vadai. And Rav Soloveitchik wanted to claim that Rashi also, Masechta Pesachim, when he talks about the maskir and the socher, Bedika also uses the word vadai. That Vadai the Maskir did his due diligence and he fulfilled his obligation to do Bedika. And therefore the Rav says that when the Gemara says you should ask him if he's around the Maskir, that's only an Eitzah Tova Kamashma. Strictly Al Pidin, we don't have to ask him because we have an absolute clarification of the suffix based on the Cheskas Tzidkus and the Cheskas Chaver. And the Rav used to quote the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, at the beginning of Yoredea, Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph, who says that according to the Ra'ah, even if the Shochet is Befaneinu, and we can test them, we don't have to do so. Because it's a Miut She'eino Nikar, and in such a case we have an absolute halachic clarification of the issue, and there's no need for any further biru. So again, when we're dealing with Chazok as a din, or a Hanahoga, then we need biru if it's possible. Default position, we rely on the din. But if we're dealing with the situation of a Chazok of a Torah's biru, then we don't need any further biru. That's the Yesod, and I think if anyone was, you know, about to embark upon a study of Yoredeya, this could be a great introductory shiur for Yoredeya. I mean, it really sets the pattern. You have, for example, Tarovis, right? You have a Dover Sheish Lamatirin. So what does it mean? Why isn't it bottle? We haven't did a bittul. The answer is because bittul is not a birur asafek. How do I know that I didn't take out the iser when I picked it up? And therefore be mavarit. Or ashe toklena b'iser, toklena b'heter. But if you had an absolute birur, then you wouldn't even need to clarify it in any extra effort. Now, in the case of speksveka, one could wonder back and forth whether speksveka means that it's an absolute birur, and there's no need for going further in birur, or no, speksveka is also a din of suffix, that the Torah says you can rely, you know, bless prayer, if you don't have a clarification, then you rely on speksveka. But if there's a possibility of clarifying, right, isha habsula nises liyom haravi, then we want to bring him into Bezdin, and maybe Adam will come and clarify what, you know, what kind of beer she had or didn't have. So Rav Hosai, I don't know what the schedule is next week. We'll talk about that. But I just want to say a word about where I want to go from here. I have here three cards that would make up maybe one shir on the question of Maisa and Me'ela, meaning we very often differentiate between the action and the result of the action. Here is a very specific kind of chakira. Is it the action, or you don't need an action? There's no need for an action. There's some process or cause and effect that takes place even without the active participation of the person. So the person didn't do any maisa. It's not like the chakir of maisa versus totsasa maisa. But rather, there's an automatic situation that's self-generated, spontaneously generated, and we don't even need a maisa. And I want to bring a few examples of that. And you can begin to think on your own if you can come up with any examples. You'll probably come up with examples that I didn't even think of. Now, as far as Din Yashan and Din Chadash is concerned, I'm wondering what the chiyuv of a gazlan is when he destroys the object. So let's say Reuven steals a utensil and he destroys it. Now, it was valued at 10 at the time that he stole it. It was only valued at 5 at the time that he's destroyed it. Does he pay 10 or does he pay 5? Now, what's the machayev of gzela? Is it the old din of maisa gzela, or is it the new din of hezek, that since now he destroyed the kli, he's going to be paying as a mazik, and it's a brand new din, and the nafkamina is going to be if there's any sort of discrepancy in the price of the object.
More discussion.
Yeah. I'm not. Adarava, I just want to tell you, you know, you didn't hear it so far in the two times you came, but my goal in this Derech Halev is to go back to the Gemara itself. You didn't hear it. I didn't get to, you know, when we get to Gavra Cheftza, which I don't know when we're going to pick that up, but when we get to that, believe me, then we're going to go back to the Gemara. And I'm going to try to prove to you that the Gemara itself is going to wonder whether it's Gavra Cheftza, neither in Shvuah, Chovas Talis, whether it's in the Gavra and the Cheftza, many different cases where I think the Gemara itself is going to talk about Gavra Cheftza. And that's really the most exciting part about this limud for me personally. You know, the fact that I can tell you over a Mishmeres Chaim from Rav Chaim Scheinberg, or an Afike Yam, or even an Oneg Yontif, I mean, that's a tiny for me, the Oneg Yontif, but that's not really for me hitting the Grand Slam, if you know what I mean. For me, the most exciting thing is if I could weave these chakirs into the Gemara itself, so that you could see, and that's what I think Rav Chaim tried to do, and that's why he was opposed to, let's say, Rav Amiel's approach. I don't think he was a contemporary of Rav Amiel, but he would have been opposed to Rav Amiel, because what he would claim against Rav Amiel is that you're trying to derive the Derech HaLibud from sources that are not in the Talmud themselves. And Rav Chaim wanted to limit himself to the Talmud and derive structures from the Talmud. And that's a fascinating issue unto itself. So when you say, Herb, that this is a sugya, whether the Gazlan pays Keshas HaGzelo, Keshas Shvura Umesa, Tavro Mona, that itself is a sugya in the ninth parak of Hagoz Leitzim in Bava Kama. I think that's going to be a perfect example, perhaps, a paradigm of Din Yashan Din Chadash. In other words, is the Maisa Hezek on the part of the Gazan just an extension of his original Gzela, or it's a brand new Machayev and it replaces the old Machayev? That's a fascinating question, which I think is Din Yashan and Din Chadash. And if it comes from the Gemara itself, I'm very excited. You know, I've heard many Rosh Hashivas in my life. I learned in a bunch of different yeshivas. But what I think was unique about the Rav Soloveitchik was that everything went back to the Gemara itself. And that's why he was so machlid to read the Gemara in Shia. I never heard a Shia from him in 5 years. We didn't start from the Gemara. And he would call on someone to read the Gemara, and he could tell by the way you read the Gemara whether you understood the Gemara. And when I mean understand, I don't mean just translate it with an article. I mean whether you understood it on a deeper level. And I remember he had a chakira about Maisa Shchit and Chalot Shchit, and he read it into the Gemara in Chulin, you know. And this was the most exciting thing about the Rav. So Herb, when you say there's a Gemara about that, Adarav, that means I scored a home run, you know.
Who were you as a Rashid?
Oh, I heard, well, I don't know, in this context, I don't know, it might sound like Lashon Hara, you know. No, I had a great Rosh Hashiva in Keren Yavne. His name is Rav Moshe Divitman. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was amazing. He's still alive, Baruch Hashem. And whenever the chevra get together, we start reminiscing about our year after high school. We start imitating Rav Moshe. I mean, he was a sketch. And he loved Rabbi Kivay. And his shiurim were always on the style of, you know, the logic of Rabbi Kivay and try to slug up Rabbi Kivay or answer his caches. But he made life so exciting. It was amazing. You couldn't sleep in his class. He would throw shtenders. In those days, by the way, you know, who could imagine? People used to smoke in shiur. Not only in the Beis Medrash. I learned in the yeshiva called Beis HaTalmud after Keren V'Yavne. If you went up to the Ezra's Noshev, you opened up the Vilon, you couldn't see the Beis Medrash. The whole place was covered by smoke. It was Anan V'Arofel Al Pnei Ahar. But in Shir, nobody smoked. It wasn't always like that.
Yeshiva from Beis HaTalmud?
Rav Moshe Shapiro, 2 years. I heard Rav Dov Schwarzman's Shir Kloli, and in my book, he was the most radical thinker that ever walked this earth, Rav Dov Schwarzman. He used to say things that were crazy, and he believed them to be true. And he would say in front of 100 Talmidim. I'll never forget, my father came to hear the Shia once, you know, he was visiting me in Eretz Yisrael, and he was plotting, you know, he wanted to argue with Rav Dov, but my father knew Hebrew perfectly, but he couldn't speak Hebrew. So he, after the shiur was over, he comes running up to Rav Dov and he's yelling at him in Yiddish, you know, and they're back and forth in Yiddish, you know. And the whole Beis Medrash is sitting around watching my father, you know, and Rav Dov fighting it out, you know. So Rav Dov was my shiur kloli. At the end of the year, I asked for permission to stay in Rav Moshe's shiur. That was like a no-no in those days, because he went from Rav Moshe Shapiro straight to Rav Dov Schwarzman. Did not pass go. Because he was the Rosh Hashanah.
Was it KBY?
No. My first